is how it treats its women and girls. It's women and girls.
We create
the smart, powerful, creative, accomplished young women.
We can fight.
I'm here because of you. I'm here because girls like you inspire me. Many of these girls have faced unthinkable obstacles just to attend school. Any society is how it treats its women and girls.
Won't stand still.
Your story is my story. Your story is my story.
Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. I am Liz. I'm one of the hosts of Surly Voices. My co-host Donna has been locked out of her house. She locked herself out of her house, and she is hopefully going to call in. And otherwise, I got plenty to talk about just me. Amina was in Minnesota, I think. Amina's out in the atmosphere somewhere. But it's going to be an exciting show nonetheless. Today we're going to talk about all the various candidates for the Tampa City Council and mayoral race. And it's going to be quite interesting because there have been some developments. In case you haven't been following along with Creative Loafing in particular, is like one of the best things going right now because they are like all on top of everything. So if you're following any news source at all, that's the one I follow because it's not the slicked up status quo version of events that other publications have. So I'm going to give the Surly disclaimer right up top. The opinions discussed on Surly Voices are those of Surly Feminists for the Revolution and not necessarily those of WMNF. And so if you want to join in the conversation, please give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. And for those of you who are rolling your eyes and saying, "Oh, why do we have to talk about the Tampa City Council and the Tampa mayor race? Why can't we talk about something else? There's all kinds of things going on right now, blah, blah, blah." Well, if you've been a listener to our show, you know that we encourage folks to be active and be educated in local races, because yeah, it's great if you vote for president and senators and things like that, but all the action happens, it's like the room where it happens in Hamilton. If Donna were here, she would tell you that she would go into a dialogue about the Hamilton room where it happens. But yeah, the room where it happens in politics is on a local level. And so if you're not paying attention and being an informed voter on a local level, then who cares who you're voting for president? Because the things that are going to impact you day to day are right at home. So we are going to talk about that, and that is why we're going to talk about that. And we'll talk about it in the lead up to the elections, because elections have consequences, and we all know that. Or we should have learned it anyway in the past 8 years. Elections do have consequences. Local elections are just as important, if not more so, than national elections. So this is why we're going to be talking about the local Tampa races. So, of all the candidates and incumbents, only one person in the whole field of incumbents is unopposed and therefore has won a new term, and that is Councilman Luis Vieira. Disclaimer, Luis Vieira and I have known each other for about 15 years. I consider him a friend. He's a good guy. He's like, there's this old movie called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Luis Vieira is Mr. Smith. Let me make it clear. Also, I do not agree with every single thing he says or does. But what I can say about him is he is a good person and his heart is in the right place. He is very, very active in his community. He represents North Tampa. So he's very active in his community, and his constituents apparently recognize that because he is unopposed, and therefore he is going to be, or he has won, a new term. Now, you may also have seen a lot of publications about, discord in the Tampa City Council. And a lot of the discord seems to break down along certain voting blocks. You have one voting block that sides mostly with Tampa Mayor Jane Castor. And then you have another voting bloc that often takes contrary positions to Jane Castor. And there's one council person who is considered a swing voter, and that would be Guido Maniscalco. And so that seems to be the driving force behind this discord. Let's go from the top on down and talk about who the candidates are and who their opponents are, and we'll go from there. So the top candidate, of course, is Tampa Mayor Jane Castor. And Jane Castor, up until 2015, was actually a Republican. And then she changed parties. She's been the Tampa Chief of Police. She was the Chief of Police during the Biking While Black program. I know that's not what the official name of it was, but that's what it ended up colloquial being called, is Biking While Black. So She was the Chief of Police when all that went down. Now there's this new thing that came out. There's a thing called Renting While Black. So the city, the Department of Justice has been doing an investigation into allegations that people who are black have been discriminated against in renting and housing issues. And so that's also an issue that needs further exploration. But because we're talking mostly about who's running it and who's running against them, we'll save that for another show. Again, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org. Or you can text to 813-433-0885. So, Jane Castor, it's been alleged that she favors the developers and the people who want to keep putting stuff in Tampa. She has not addressed the extreme crisis I think we're in now, because it has gotten so expensive to rent in Tampa that you can't even, I mean, people who have minimum wage jobs, unless they've already got housing and they're secure, you can't like be a young person and move down here and find something that's actually affordable. And so all this development that's going on, I just saw a thing in the newspaper last week about somebody's building this thing off of Harbor Island, and I'm like, don't we have enough development downtown already? But anyway, she has not addressed the housing crisis in Tampa. You see gentrification everywhere you look, and it's going to get to a point, I'm afraid, where people who've been Tampa citizens forever are going to get pushed out to the sidelines. And then what happens? So, Jane Castor. Now, for a long time, we were waiting to see who was going to run against Jane Castor. And we were hopeful that, you know, at least somebody would, because it just makes it a lot more entertaining that way. And none of the big names jumped into the race. So the one opponent that Jane Castor has is an attorney named Belinda Noah. I don't know Ms. Noah, but I applaud her for at least having the gumption to get up and challenge Jane Castor. So that's where we are with the mayor's race. The mainstream news publications will tell you, oh, Jane Castor is going to sail to victory, no problem. It's dismaying almost. excuse me. I'm trying to catch a cold, and it seems to have caught up to me. It's a bit dismaying that there isn't a more robust kind of debate with what's going on, because you look at some of the things that Jane Castor has done, and we've talked about them on our show before. There's the golf cart Mary debacle, where she appointed Mary O'Connor to her to be her chief of police, and Mary O'Connor then was later made us headline news around the world, and the subject of lots of memes. So Mary O'Connor was the chief of police until she got pulled over her husband actually got pulled over. He was driving a golf cart without any license plate on it. So let's see. We've got some emails already, and I'm going to read one. Let's see. I hope that this is from Bubba. I hope that voters do their homework and don't vote for Blake Casper. He's a rich D-bag who has no idea about the struggles of lower and middle class people in Tampa. And he supports DeSantis. Thank you, Bubba. Yeah, we're going to talk about him in a few minutes. But right now, let's focus. All right, so mayor's race, unfortunately, unless some miraculous turnout happens, the mayor's race seems to be pretty much decided. And one, again, as I mentioned earlier, there has been reported quote unquote discord in the city Tampa, in the city council. Now, let's think back to our prior conversations about formalities and pleasantries and politeness. Those oftentimes are tools of the patriarchy to silence dissenting voices. And do you really want, or do people really want, a city council that's going to be nothing more than a rubber stamp for whatever the mayor decides? Some people may want that. In fact, that's what the mainstream political organizations are reporting. Oh, yeah, people want a city council that will agree with the mayor. Well, I don't. I want my council person to represent me, my interests, and the interests of people I care about. And those would not include developers and investors and people who are looking to gentrify Tampa to the point where nobody of normal means can afford to live in it. And so that's, I want my city council person to advocate for me and the people I care about, not to try to rake in as much money as possible to get the city. Thank God they haven't put the baseball stadium in Ybor City yet, but things like that, there doesn't need to be unfettered power or rubber stamp power in Tampa, in my opinion. What's your opinion? Give us a call, 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. And so, yeah, unless you want a total rubber stamping council, then discord is important. It's important to have discussions about the issues that affect the community. And so I don't think it's a bad thing that there's discord in the city council. Because again, I don't believe in the patriarchal tool of politeness in what amounts to a legislative body. So, that is one of the reasons that people are saying, oh, well, of course, we want to have people who will back the mayor's agenda. Well, maybe, what if you don't agree with the mayor's agenda? Mayor is very, very pro-police because she used to be a police chief for years and years and years. So, maybe if you're interested in alternate programs like community policing instead of biking while black, maybe you want an advocate on the city council who can fight for people who don't believe in a strong police / militaristic position. So, that's another thing too, is, oh, we need bridge builders. We've already got bridge builders on the city council. And so we need, what we need is a voice of people who are representing their constituents. And some people represent their constituents quite well. And, excuse me, other people don't. And it's who are you representing? Think about that when you are talking about how great a particular candidate is. Let's talk to Caressa in Avon Park. Hi, Caressa.
That's close enough, doll. listen, it seems that everywhere I go, everywhere I stand, everywhere I live, the people in power and control seem to know the cost of everything and the value of nothing and nobody. New Brunswick, New Jersey, I grew up there. They took all the corporations, J&J, who else, Hyatt Regency, they took over the whole town. Now what? There's no Hungarians, there's no blacks, there's nothing for me to eat when I go over there. I can't even afford to live there, just like Tampa. What's the difference? Everywhere I go, it's the same thing.
Right.
The village of New York City. I lived in a village where it had seen better days and artists could live there. Then we had to leave. We had to go to Hoboken. Then we had to leave Hoboken. Hoboken's so expensive. I lived in the 80s. I lived in, what's the name of that over there? Soho. Then Soho, the artists had to get out because some corporations came in. A big business. Woo, woo. Come on.
That's just it. The capitalists come in and curry favor with the politicians, and the next thing you know, we're all moving to Lutz.
It's what do you call that? It's they said it on the radio. That genius. What was his name? Yeah, it's the Marquis de Sade. It's sadistic. They don't care about people. I don't have a dollar sign on my forehead. I'm made of love in the image of God. Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. All right. So, there's that she's got an absolute point. I mean, yeah, you think of all these places that it's like when I first moved to Tampa, which was in 2000. Yeah, 2000. It was a nice kind of small town. And yeah, it needed some development. But having moved to Tampa from Atlanta, where, you know, you can't get anywhere in a reasonable amount of time because the traffic's so bad. But it did need development, and then we got development, and now I would argue it's overdeveloped. The traffic has not been this bad in my memory. And as we know, the traffic gets worse in the winter time because of the snowbirds. So that has been an issue. So it's like, at what point do we say no? So, all right, let's go on to the city council races. And the city council races, again, Luis Vieira has already won his race because he didn't have any opposition. So now we look at all the other races. And two of the candidates, Guido Maniscalco and Charlie Miranda, have apparently term limited out of their positions in the districts where they currently are. And so they've switched districts. Apparently, you can term out of one district and then change into the next district and run in that one. So, it's kind of interesting. So, what we look at now is, all right. Let's go to the folks who are quote unquote problematic, according to various sources. The problematic folks here in the Tampa race. So, in the first category, we'll start by district numbers. District 3. The current council person is a person named Lynn Hertak, and she came into the city council when former council person Dingfelder resigned. And she's been there about a year. And she's been fairly vocal about criticisms with the way things have worked and the mayor. And so we look back in, we look back to the November races. There was a sitting senator named Janet Cruz. And Janet Cruz just happens to be Jane Castor's mother-in-law. You've heard this thing. There's this phrase going around the internet that Nepo babies. Nepo babies are like people like Johnny Depp's daughter, who wouldn't get a job other than being Johnny Depp's daughter. So they call them Nepo babies. So Janet Cruz is like the Nepo mom because after she lost, she's a Democrat, after she lost her Senate seat, pretty much immediately she declared she was going to run in the city council race in District 3. And I think one of the reasons she gave, I'm going to have to double check that or fact check it. I think that one of the reasons she gave was because there wasn't enough bridge building on the Tampa City Council. Again, there are bridge builders already on the City Council, and we don't need any more bridge builders. What we need is people who would disagree with the mayor when she's wrong, or when their constituents want them to. So Janet Cruz jumps into the City Council race, and this, you know, caught our attention immediately because it's like, what? There's one woman on the City Council, and that's the district you're gonna run in? Seriously? So Janet Cruz jumps into the race, and all of this is the beauty of living in Florida, is that all the stuff that's in here is accessible in for example, all the information about the candidates is accessible on the Hillsborough County Supervisor of Elections website. So you go to the city council, to the website for the director of elections, and you look in District 3. There are 5 candidates in total. One is named KJ Allen. Despite research, I couldn't find anything on KJ Allen, so we will continue to look at that. There's Nepo mom, Janet Cruz. There's George the Hunted Feshev, who is, I did find stuff on him. He's a resident of Ybor and was the victim of a shooting. There is Lynn Hertak. We already touched on her. And there's Jose Vasquez. Of the slate of challengers here, Janet Cruz is certainly the one who has raised the most money. And another thing that's beautiful about the election stuff is you can go and you can see every single person who's donated to the campaigns of these folks. So, I encourage you, if you haven't already, to visit this website because there is so much information here. It's not even funny. And because of the importance of the elections and stuff like that, we're going to follow the money in our next show. But right now, we're just introducing the players right now. So, next week, we will follow the money. So, you got those folks running for District 3. And again, Lynn Hertak is the sitting person. Now, District 4 is, this incited a lot of buzz. This is the, District 4 is the one that Bill Carlson currently holds. And so, at a little before 9 a.m. on the last day that you could declare your candidacy, here comes this guy named Blake Casper. Now, I don't follow the glitterati of Tampa, so I had to look Blake Casper up. And wow, oh my gosh. Like I said, creative loafing is a great source of information. But you don't even need creative loafing to find out who Blake Casper is, because he is a extremely wealthy person. He made most of his money through McDonald's franchises. He and his sister co-owned or co-founded the Oxford Exchange. So this man could fund his own campaign and claims to have been a friend of Bill Carlson's. And I'm like, well, shoot, none of my friends would run against me, so how good a friend was he? But anyway, so Blake Casper, as Bubba pointed out in his text message earlier, Blake Casper is wealthy, and he has no idea about the struggles of the middle class. He's also a DeSantis supporter. You don't have to look very far. Now, if you believe in DeSantis and his program, then I guess Blake Casper would be your guy. If you aren't on board with all the science denying and the book banning and the non-conversation having DeSantis, then yeah, you might not think that this is the greatest candidate in the world. The most important thing, though, about this mystery dude who just pops in at the last minute, back in December, Jane Castor had a fundraiser was held for Jane Castor. It was in Ybor. And several of the Cruz family, including Janet Cruz, her husband, Steve Rifkin, because she sometimes goes by the name of Janet Cruz Rifkin. So several family members were on one of the host committees for this, or the host. There's like a different level of I guess donor or supporter, and so she and her husband were in the top two on the list. But another name that didn't jump out to me until he declared for city council, Blake Casper, is also on the supporters list for this event. And so it's like, well, this is kind of strange in a interesting sort of way. And we can, I've got a PowerPoint that I can't pull up right now because I'm by myself, but, we'll put a link to that on the page, Surly Voices on Facebook. If you want to see that, it's there. Again, you are listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can email to DJ at WMNF.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. So, Bill Carlson, District 4, Blake Casper, District 4, one who has allegedly caused discord in the city council, and one who is clearly a Jane Castor supporter. Tampa City Council, District 5. That one, here are the candidates. Orlando Goods, he is the council person who's currently holding that seat. Then Gwen Henderson and Evelyn Janae Marie McBride. And Orlando Goods is the third of the council people who are allegedly giving the mayor's agenda a hard time. Let's see. I've got an email. Liz, outstanding interview with Lynn Hertek on Wavemakers, Tuesday 1:24 Midpoint Show. All should listen on WMNF Archives. Thanks, Elisa GP. Thank you, Elisa. The third of the triumvirate of the mayor's thorns in her side, Orlando Goodes. He was the subject of rumors and speculations and allegations about sexual harassment. And so this is, again, something that was pretty well publicized. And so I actually went looking in the federal court for a lawsuit about sexual harassment, and I didn't find one. So then I went to the state court, and I found a lawsuit. I don't know the plaintiff's name because they used initials, but the lawsuit is not about sexual harassment. It's about a tort called intentional infliction of emotional distress. Two counts for that, and then the third count was defamation, because this person who brought the lawsuit said that he had spread untrue rumors about her. And the long story, and this is the first. All right, let's roll back to the from the intersectional feminist perspective. It's when a woman has an allegation, like, you believe the woman. And then you've got the other side of the aisle saying, oh, well, we always believe the women. What about the poor man that's going to destroy his career? Blah, 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 blah. But until you have reason not to, you believe women. So I believe this person. I believe that these allegations. And it wasn't like touching or physical contact of any kind. It was, he used some rather choice words, allegedly. And I would love to say them here, but several of them violate the seven rules, so I can't. But, again, beautiful Florida, you got open records, so you go to the Hillsborough County, the Hillsborough County clerk of court, and you can pull up the lawsuit there. Eventually, what happened, it didn't go on a long time. What happened was the judge dismissed with prejudice the first count and the third count, and one is dismissed without prejudice. That's the second count. Again, not a sexual harassment suit. It's a intentional infliction of emotional distress suit. And it seems, from reading the documents in this lawsuit, it looks like Goodes admits that he did say some of these things. He also says that he and the woman were friends before she worked for him. And in other words, the lines of friendship and employeeship got blurred. And that's a situation fraught with problems, especially if you have a pouty mouth like some of us do. Anyway, so two counts dismissed. One is still potentially live, but it's now up on appeal. So we will see how that shakes out. But that's the backstory there. The other two candidates, Gwen Henderson and Evelyn McBride, we haven't been able to find any kind of reasons for them being in here that might be, you know, pro caster. But you can look up and see all the donations and everything. So we're going to follow along and see where the money's coming from and where it's going. Then we have Charlie Miranda. Like I said, he's in District 2 now and is moving to 6. He's got a field of challengers. Tyler Barrett, Rick Pfeiffer, Nicole Payne, and Hoyt Prindle. Now, out of these folks, one is running away with the contributions, and that's Hoyt Prindle. And I actually met him the other day quite by chance. He is a young attorney, and I have looked at his money so far. He's got over $31,000 raised so far. I went and looked at his money, and it's mostly individuals. In fact, it's kind of hard to find an entity that's donated to him so far. So that's that one. And then Guido Maniscalco, who's now in six, is now running for two because he's termed out of six. His opponents are Michael Derowinko, Robin Luckett, and Mike Suarez. Now, Mike Suarez used to be on the city council, and he was actually at one time running for mayor. Now, Guido Maniscalco is the quote-unquote swing vote between the two factions on the city council. So it looks like nobody's blowing out the contributions quite yet, but it's early still. So by the next show, we may have an idea about who's raking in the money. But again, Mike Suarez is a known entity. Some of these other folks are less well known, and we've actually started trying to find out who they are. The quote unquote problem with the lesser known people is there's not as much paper trail on them. But hopefully there will be debates that folks can follow and see where these candidates stand on the various issues. So that leaves us with Tampa City Council District 1. And that is the district that Joe Citro is in. All right. Sonia Brookings is running against him. Alan Clendenin. It's an interesting name. Clendenin. And Chase Harrison. Now, in this race, Alan Clendenin is blowing it out. He has got a little over $47,000 raised to date. And again, I don't follow the social register that much in Tampa, so I went looking for who Alan Clendenin was. And turns out he's actually run for city council before. Seems to be, you know, all individuals for the most part, not many corporations. And I have mad respect for people who can raise that much money from individuals, because I am just not a money raiser. I mean, I believe in recognizing your weaknesses, and that's certainly one of mine, is raising money. So that's going to be an interesting race, because before, when Joe Citro ran, it was against Alan Clendenin and Walter Smith, and somehow the votes split out to where it was Joseph Citro and Walter Smith. And so this is Alan Clendenin coming back for a second round. Now, Joe Citro is on the, let's call it the pro-mayor voting block. So it'll be interesting to see what Alan Clendenin's response is. See debates to see what side he stands on. So that is your candidate slate. And it will be interesting to see how things shake out. Some of these races have enough people in them to where you could say, I wonder if there could be a runoff. Last 9 minutes of the show, give us your thoughts. 813-239-9663. You can email to dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. It would actually be nice to have a phone call because my voice is kind of giving out on me. So give us a call. Tell us what you think. What do you look for in a mayor or a city council person? What issues are important to you? Is it development? Is it affordable housing? Is it putting people to work during a pandemic, but then making the housing so unaffordable that they can't afford to work in the places they live? Give us a call and let us know. So let's talk about some more lighthearted subjects. You may recall that M&M's, the Mars candy, M&M's put their one of their female M&M's in sneakers versus heels. And Fox News, of course, had a fit about that. And particularly Tucker Carlson had a fit about that because he's like, yeah, this M&M is not sexy anymore. Like, you can't be sexy in sneakers, please. So he had a fit about that. So then a few days ago, A&W, the maker of the famous root beer, their mascot apparently is a bear. And they put it, and it was clearly a sarcastic effort. They put their bear, who formerly only wore a sweater with A&W on it, they put their bear in pants and made like this ridiculous announcement thing. And it said, America, let's talk. Since 1963, Rudy the Great Root Bear. Now, I like many people, did not know that there was a bear mascot for the Root Beer, as our beloved spokes bear. We knew people would notice because he's literally a 6-foot-tall bear wearing an orange sweater. But now we get it. Even a mascot's lack of pants can be polarizing. Fox News went nuts with this. And they're like, can you believe the wokeness of this all? Let me take this call from Sister Kelly real quick. Hey, Sister Kelly.
Thank you, Sister. I want to introduce Robin Lockett for that spot, because she is a worker, a community worker, housing, etc. So please have her on sometime, Robin Lockett.
Robin Lockett. Okay.
Bless you for all you do.
Thank you so much, Sister Kelly. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So back to Rudy the spokes bear. See, it's too close. Bear and beer are too close. Spokes bear. So, and now it's the funniest thing that you can do is to go and put in A&W bear. And all the comment sections are full of these Fox News people. Viewers, not programmers. Although apparently, you know, they all fall into the same line. So and they're like, can you believe that this is ridiculous? Wokeness has gotten out of hand. La 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 la. And then you have the people who did get the joke, and they're like, it's a joke. And then then they start arguing about whether it was actually meant to be a joke to start with. So it's this is one time when you do want to when you do want to read the comments, because I mean A&W is just going to make a ton of money just on the publicity alone. It's as P.T. Barnum said, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So that's something that you can do for sheer entertainment. And it, but it's just, you know, ridiculous. But to say, also to say that an M&M is not sexy because she's not wearing heels is ridiculous. So, it was a great send up by A&W, and I applaud them for their sense of snark. It's always good to see snark in the wild. So some other things that have been going on, of course, we all have heard about the DeSantis administration banning the teaching of African American history at a college level. So that is apparently drawing a lawsuit because, you know, how dare we learn about actual history just because it involves black people? I'm astounded and dismayed, but it's not the first time. Let's talk to Fran in Largo. Hi, Fran.
Hi. I know I'm calling late, but some of your remarks just got to me. I guess Tucker Carlson, wouldn't he be the official mascot of Fox News? That just popped into my head. I'm glad I got through.
Okay. Thank you, Fran. Let's see. We've got an email from Cynthia. You said it's going to get to the point where people who have always lived in Tampa area priced out. That ship has sailed. I know many people who have lived here for years who had to move. Personally, my rent increased over 30% last year and 40% this year. I wish there were limits on annual increases like 10%. There might be, but the mayor refused to do it. As for Janet Cruz, I can't speak to whether she will be a rubber stamp for Castor. I hope not. My experience with her in previous positions was extremely positive. She and her assistants were responsive and not afraid to speak out for our students. That may be, Cynthia. The thing that bothers me is the proximity of family. I mean, look how that's worked out for us in the past, the Trump administration with Ivanka. Do we want family members sitting in the same sphere of influence? If you're okay with that, great. That's something that just, there's a thing in the law called the appearance of impropriety, and that comes real close. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna join the city council. Don't look at the fact that my daughter-in-law is the mayor, because, you know, and the mayor has a lot of power in Tampa. The mayor makes the administrative decisions, does all the money stuff. So it's like, wait, you're going to run in the seat of a person who's vocally against a lot of the things that go down, and we're going to expect great representation? Let's see. All right, we've got all the... For those of you who leave Google voicemails, we can't listen to them because we don't know what they say, and therefore we don't know whether we can read the words or not, or play the words or not. But anyway, so long story short, please, you know, educate yourself. No matter who you vote for, educate yourself. Know who these folks are, make your own decisions and judgments about what you can tolerate as far as proximity goes. And please join us again next week and have a good day.